Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast for the Tour de France Femme Avec Swift. We're changing it up. Well, thankfully, we've got a new race to look forward to and cover. Stage one finished early today in Clermont-Ferrand because, yeah, it's earlier than most of the other days. Normally, it will finish, I think, at about 5 o'clock or 5:30 like the men's race normally would. But, yeah, stage one from Clermont-Ferrand to Clermont-Ferrand. We just had a million races recently. 124Ks. Pretty flat, but a few lumps and bumps in the last sort of 20Ks of the first 100. There's an intermediate sprint, which we'll get to, that was a bit weird at Saint-Hippolyte. It was uphill, and then a couple of up and downs, fast sweeping descents before the Côte de Dertol, which is 1,700 meters, 7.1%, 10Ks from the finish is the crest before a fast descent, pedaling descent, and a bit of 4Ks flat to the finish. It is one of these stages that is very similar to the start of the men's tour in 2021 and 2020, where it's a pretty easy day and then a very borderline puncher climb, not right at the finish, and, you know, could go either way. Could be a bunch sprint, could be a really thinned out sprint, could be a sole attacker, could even be GC gap. So it's really the last 30Ks of this stage you need to focus on. But there were some unfortunate things earlier in the stage, Benji.
Exactly. The initial breakaway was something not super unfortunate, as in there was a long breakaway formation phase, 15 kilometers, where nothing happened. As in no attacks, just waiting. We don't have that Campenaerts going from the first second of the race in this first stage of the women's tour. We see a few attacks after 10-ish kilometers, but they don't really go anywhere. And then after 20, 25 kilometers, we see an attack that actually gets a gap. The first separation we have in this race, Stephen Laurence of Life Plus Wahoo goes into the attack. And at that same exact moment, while she's going off onto the attack, we see a weird crash on the side of the peloton. So basically, if you're looking from the helicopter, on the right front of the peloton, we have a rider from AG Insurance, and that is Mireia Benito. She was a pretty good climber early this season. She went off the road. Really odd how it happened. I feel like she just went next to the asphalt maybe, and that's why she ended up slipping into the ditch, but it didn't look good at first. And I don't know if they have left an update on social media. I'm checking while I'm saying it. They have said that she was entered into the ambulance and was conscious on her way to the hospital, but we haven't heard an update since then. So hopefully Mireia Benito is fine, but unfortunately, a first DNF, first abandon in this Tour de France Femme, which it's not really a crash from the bunch being all nervous and so forth. This was just a bad luck crash, right?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, hopefully she recovers okay. But yeah, it's a shame to leave the race on the first stage, obviously, and for that team as well. So yeah, that's not a great start to the race, but it was a bit of a cagey affair after that, and there was a long period of time where there was no breakaway. And to be honest, there is an overwhelming... I think the first three favourites in the betting for this stage were all from SD Works, Capecchi, Vibers, and Vollering. So they could win in a group sprint, Vibers. She's going to win. They can win in a thinned-out sprint, Capecchi, or Vollering even. They can win with solo attackers, Vollering or Capecchi. So There are some very strong teams here on the flat, being Trek, DSM, Jumbo, and SD Works, particularly SD Works, with Majerus, Bredewald, and Reusser, the best time trialist in the world right now. So maybe that's why some teams thought, why waste energy in the attack when you're just going to get managed very easily by those strong teams.
Yeah, but I do personally feel like we see that 20-kilometer attack by Tiffin Laurence that eventually gets caught 20K later with 80K to go. And there's like a moment of 35 kilometers without any attack in this peloton. And like, this is a Tour de France Femme. There's full coverage of this stage. Like, there has to be one team, maybe once again a Live Plus Wahoo attack, maybe some other team in the race that is not really a favorite for this race, which is the majority of these teams. I was expecting someone to at least go for a bit of an exposure breakaway. And maybe it's not a very competitive breakaway, but everybody's got their eyes on that race at that moment. So it's the biggest race in women's cycling, and it takes 35 kilometers before Marta Lag, the hero of Paris-Roubaix Femmes, because I remember that she was the one that, in the last velodrome, pushed into the lead out for everybody in the breakaway group and ruined their own chances. Well, she attacked and went into a breakaway here that lasted once again roughly 15 kilometers, something like that. But isn't it odd that no one except those two riders really tried to go in a breakaway?
I was surprised, you know, like Saint-Michel, Cofidis, Arkea, French teams, and listen, yeah. Like 90% of the teams here, they have no chance to win this stage from the group. Like, no chance. SG Works is so overpowered. So I was surprised. I think it might also be a parkour design reason. Now, maybe if there was a Category 3 climb sort of two-thirds into the stage and KOM. The last climb was a Cat 4, then you have someone hunting KOM and they can wear polka dots tonight. There's also the competitive prize. But yeah, that's also something to think about is if you give a little KOM incentive earlier, you can induce people going in the break earlier because they might actually get something out of it. And I also understand wanting to keep your bullets fresh, but yeah. Anyway, we're coming into the final. Basically the intermediate sprint becomes forgotten about because the strong teams are already on they're already doing the lead out. So we see Balsamo, her higher position in the team is made very clear because she was pulling sort of when Majerus and Bredevold were pulling. So either she's not in form or they're just all in on ELB GC. But yeah, she was pulling early as well as, SD Works on one side of the road and Jumbo Visma. And at that intermediate sprint, just no one went for it, which...
It was super weird. Yeah. Like, I was expecting some sprinter types to try and go for it. I understand if a call, for example, says I don't want to go because I don't feel like I won, have the largest chance of winning green. And secondly, because I will need that bullet for the climb later because I might not be the best sprinter to get over that climb. Wibbs is a bit better in that. So maybe that's her thought process. That I understand. But there's so many other sprinters in this race where I would have been like, okay, there's also prize money on grabs, also valuable. And we see like a sprint to the point that it kind of was like, they went around the corner, saw the sprint, and certainly thought, oh fuck, the sprint is there. We need to sprint. And then like three or four riders started fighting for it. The likes of Deignan from the Trek train from second position came past the first rider and went for it. Momon went for it, which is somewhat intriguing. She's spending energy there. Then we've got Caroline Swinkels from Jumbo also going for it. Voss. But that was odd because you would expect Voss to try and go for those points. But it was like the Jumbo train was not ready for it. Because Voss ends up sprinting to fifth instead of third, which Caroline Swinkels is getting. Confalonieri gets fourth. And by the way, according to Tissot, which is like the timing organizer, there's 25 points for the sprint. So that's something intriguing. I didn't know it was 25 instead of 20. But if that is true, then there's even more incentive to go for these intermediate sprints. So in my eyes, it looked like they all forgot it was happening. I checked the profile. It happened at the spot that it said on the profile. So I don't know, man.
I mean, it is 16Ks, 15Ks before the start of the pivotal climb, so I can sort of understand. And listen, if you win the stage, you will, I believe, you automatically take...
green.
I think green. So you don't have to worry about it too much. And so I get that from a Capecchi perspective. But yeah, we're now fully into the lead-outs, and it's Royster and Bredevold changing for SD Works on the one side. It's Trek with Hansen and controversial Lizzie Deignan on the other side, keeping Spratt and Longaborghini in good position. What was curious to me is, and SD Works, by the way, they're a mumble jumble of jerseys because they've got the normal jersey, Vollering in the World Tour Leaders jersey, right?
Yeah.
The purple one?
Yes.
She's in a slightly different one. Bieber's in the Euro Champs jersey, Capecchi in the Belgian Champs jersey. So, and Royster in the Swiss Champs jersey.
Yeah.
Which is actually not that red. It's like a darker red too, like their normal colors. So they're all like the Vollering one almost looks the same, but they've got four of their top riders in different jerseys. And Majerus is in the Luxembourg National Champs jersey. It's crazy. I noticed Capecchi was struggling to hold the wheel, or she was switching off onto the Movistar train a lot on the other side. And I thought, to me, the whole climb, it looked like they were going for Vibas and also the run-in, because they were looking where Vibas was. Vollering looking for Vibas. Vibas on my wheel. Okay, Royce goes back on the front. Jumbo struggled in the run-in. They entered not in the best position for Voss, quite deep in the field into that climb, I think.
I think when it comes to SD Works, the one thing I noticed is that there was that one train, like you said, that was looking for Vibas, but Kopecky was solo on the other side of the road. So I was already thinking maybe she's got a free roll next to the others looking after Vibas. Do you think that's realistic, or do you think they maybe switched to a different idea mid-climb if someone started suffering?
I don't really know. I think everyone sort of had their own option, maybe. I think it was between Vibas and Capecchi, not Vollering, and Vollering was the glue to keep it all together. but I think they both, in the end, had their option. But yeah, they entered that climb, and as I said, I think it looks like they're going for Vibas, because this is a four-minute climb, maybe 4.5 minutes. Quite steep, 7% average with some steeper sections. And the situation, Royce starts pacing, but a steady pace, not like trying to split the group, set up a Vollering attack. It's very clearly not the hardest pace SD Works could ever do, because you see every GC contender fan out and they're all overlapping each other, trying to look to see what's happening. And so to me, that was clearly a steady tempo to try and allow Vibas to get over this climb, which she nearly did. And I was surprised that no other team called them on it, actually. I thought if you're Movistar with Van Vleuten and Lippert.
Exactly.
Or you got Xavi and Niviadoma, you got to get rid of Vibas. If you don't get rid of Vibas, we know what's going to happen. We saw it at the end. So what was their plan?
What's the risk? Like, what is the risk that you attack with Lippert on this climb? You attack and, yeah, maybe they were in danger of getting countered in their head, but we were coming to the point that we were nearing the last 500 meters of the climb. And if you reach that point, I'm like, at this point, you might as well make a move. And it felt like everybody was kind of looking at each other. There were people on their limit because the group was heavily thinned out. The likes of Labou was not present anymore, so major time loss for her today. There's another few GC riders that lost Marcus time, but we'll talk about it in a little bit afterwards. Exactly. And I was seeing indeed Canyon, for example, in their beautiful jerseys, by the way. I want one of those, but they're, it's not really available in men's edition, so I'm really sad.
Oh no,
but
it's same, just get the women's one.
Really?
I wear women's clothing all the time.
Okay, I'll take it. I'll trust you on that, but if it doesn't work, I'm going to judge you.
The women's one.
I expected, Xavi, for example, I would understand if Xavi's kind of on the limit on the climb, though. But Niviadoma, maybe, towards the last 500 meters, I was expecting something to happen.
Yeah.
And then it kind of came from on the far back of the group, where Kopecky kind of launched past everybody at this point. So we've got an attack. The Belgian champion is attacking. SD Works is attacking. So a bit of a switch from the idea of Vibas there, but Vibas and Cole on the climb didn't look like they were being too comfortable either. So maybe it was a slippage mid-climb. Maybe Kopecky just had a free roll. I can't judge that externally, but the immediate separation that I saw, and Niviadoma responding late to the Kopecky attack, not directly getting to the wheel, I kind of thought it was already over.
Well, yeah, I think there might be something in that she attacked from so deep that maybe the adaptation. Anyway,
the what? Plan adaptation.
They changed the plan during the climb, because if Vibas is in the front bubble, they go for Vibas, and I think Capecchi was looking, and if she slides and she's out, Capecchi gets to go, and that's. It seemed very coincidental that as Vibas really was starting to slide, Cool was also sliding in Voss, that Capecchi just drops the bomb. And Niviadoma was boxed in. She couldn't get out behind Vollering and Mormon for a little bit. She did have good legs, because the counter move was a strong split. Niviadoma does cross the top of the climb second. And that's why I was curious, like, this is the best climb for her. Be offensive. Like, don't be attacked. Go first, whilst maybe Capecchi's trying to handhold Vibas and you put them under pressure first. Yeah. But it's too late. Capecchi's already got a gap. She's super powerful. It's near the end, and there's this flat section and then a pedaling descent. Moorman was strong too, but she's isolated. She doesn't have teammates with her. She came third over the top of the climb. There was a little chase group. I presume Vollering tagged onto the back of that. And so SD Works have the perfect situation. They have Kopecky ahead, solo. She's never going to get brought back anyway, but in theory, you know, she's super strong. They have Vollering, the fastest sprint in the second group. And then they have Wiebers, the fastest sprint with Reusser in the third group. And so they can win from every group on the road. And, you know, like, that's it. Like, Ludwig's not going to pull. You know, she never will in that group.
Yeah. Cavalli did. So he's probably the only rider.
She shouldn't have, man. She pulled. Dropped herself.
Yeah, but I'm not 100% sure that FDJ see her as a GC leader at this point after her recovery.
Maybe
she had
not.
A good Tour de Pyrénées, but the rest of the races were kind of like just not. Like Girodon. But yeah, we saw that the Group 2 syndrome was kind of happening because while Cavalli was not pulling, the moments that she wasn't pulling, for example, Molman was at the front, they went like, that's not going to do anything. So that third group with Wiebes, with Reusser in it, comes back to Group 2. So we've got three riders from SD Works and a perfect situation for a 1-2 in this race. Because with Vollering, you can still doubt a tiny bit that she might get beaten by someone in the group or that she can't control an attack from the group, which is a very possible scenario. But if those three are there, they can control everything. And the gap is ballooning to 40 seconds at this point, 30 seconds. As a Belgian, I was seeing 17 minutes in my head, but nah, it wasn't that. And we were certain Lotto Kopecky was going to take the first mile, Jean, bar any accidents in the last 2 kilometers. And then we saw rolling attacks in the group behind. It's always Canyon, right? Always.
I don't mind it, actually, because, you know, like the stage is gone, and why not try and get something out of the stage a few seconds here or there on GC? Plus, there's bonies at the line, and you're not going to win the sprint.
Yep.
So I don't have a problem with it. I think that's fine. Once the stage is gone, why not go into offensive mode? But, yeah, the beauty for Kopecky is the group she attacked out of is all GC riders. So, like, in this race, there are no punchers. Who are specialist punchers that are not a GC rider. Nividoma's here for GC. Moorman's here for GC. Lippert is the one. It's like, I don't actually... Van Vleuten's here for GC. She is a puncher. Whereas, you know, this reminded me a lot of when Alaphilippe danced away. Because Kopecky, it's not only that she's also one of the strongest and was the strongest, but also there is all that self-talk in that group behind thinking... She's not here for GC anyway, so why would I flick myself chasing someone who's not here for GC?
Yes, but I'm going to give you a different scenario now. You're talking about Alaphilippe, Landerno, stage one of the Tour de France 2021, I think?
I think so,
something like that. He attacks away, Pogacar and Roglic look at each other, basically, Wout van Aert isn't good enough that day. So that's what we're seeing in that scenario. We take a look at this scenario, Kopecky rides away, GC rider is not really interested in competing for that stage. They just want to survive. And then we see on the opposite end, the stage two of the Tour de France this year, where Van Aert doesn't go on that necessarily. For example, there was an attack in that stage two after Yais Kebel, where Wout van Aert was in the group, where Pidcock was in the group, and Pidcock attacks on this tiny hill. Wout van Aert doesn't launch past Pidcock, probably because he's afraid that Pogacar will follow him. But I think the difference here between today's scenario and that day is that we've got the rivalry between Jumbo and UAE, which is Wout van Aert is in Jumbo's side. Pogacar still has a sprint. While on this side, we've got Van Vleuten versus SD Works, and Van Vleuten doesn't necessarily have that sprint. Do you think that has an impact between those two scenarios, or do you think Wout should have attacked at that moment?
Yeah, if he could have, it would have been better than defending, but I also think there is a big level difference here. You know, like Kopecky did get a huge gap on that climb, and then like 40 seconds isn't nothing. So there's also that she's just better on this sort of parkour. We saw it in Strada. She won Tour of Flanders by 30 seconds plus. So it shouldn't be a surprise that she does this again. But yeah, there's definitely that. It's always better if you're at least as good as everybody else or better, then it's better to attack at the perfect moment than be defending, because maybe what if they were waiting for Wiebes? She got dropped a little bit. Suddenly someone else attacks. You have to mark that attack. Wiebes doesn't come back. You spend too much energy chasing. They did exactly the right thing. Vollering, as I said, was the glue. she had even started pacing the group when Royce had dropped, and that was the pace that Capecchi attacked off. So Vollering was actually quite selfless today. And she also did the lead up for Vibas behind when she could really go for bonus seconds herself in theory. Like if Vollering rolled through from a smaller group, she can take bonies. But anyway, Capecchi wins 41 seconds ahead of her teammate Vibas. Cool third, just takes over Voss in fourth. Mulman, Vollering, drawn over actually on Israel, came seventh. She was in the top 10. Then Ludwig Garcia, Longoborghini, all in that top 10. Van Vleuten made it no problem. Davidon made it no problem. GC, Cavalli loses 7 seconds. Bauerfeind loses 10 seconds. Persico loses 23 seconds.
Marcus
as well
too.
As Cordon Rigaud and Marcus.
Ooh, Labou. 126 behind on the race wins. So that's 43 seconds lost today. Yeah. That's a big one for Labou. And when it comes to other GC riders, I think I wasn't considering Grace Brown as a GC rider, but she dropped pretty early on the stage, earlier than I expected it. And I think those are the main riders that really lost a lot of time for GC. So
and
we're
Julie
looking at that. And obviously Spratt and Longoborghini are still in that group. So your mental gymnastics of who their leader is, I think it's Longoborghini, but it's still alive. But be able to see this, a gap in GC now of 45 seconds between Capecchi and the rest of the world. She has it until Tourmalet.
I think SD Works got to rinse and repeat this. I said it. This is what I said in the preview, but I thought it would be Roycer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why they can't keep extending Capecchi's gap out. Like Lippert and Van Vleuten didn't ride in that group behind. Neither of them took a pull. And who wants to, Shabby and Nividoma might not pull if Movistar aren't pulling. And this sort of gets us into tomorrow. I think SD Works, like, they got the best team here. They're the most dominant team. They can sort of do what they want with the race, frankly. Yep. I think they got to go again. And I said this on, I talked at length about this stage in the preview, which, you know, it's still not too late to go and look at that. Clermont-Ferrand to Mauriac, 151Ks. I think this is actually a GC day. This is a hard stage. 4K 7% out the gate, out of neutral. Then a false flat plateau for 25Ks. Then two short climbs, 1.3K 6%, which is about how hard this climb today was. Then 1.8K 5% descent, and then 4.6K 5.5% followed straight after by the same climb as today, 1300 meters 7%. And then it's like 50Ks or 45Ks of up and down. Capecchi's got to go on that Côte de Boissière, 1.3Ks, 6.8%, that Cat 4. I think she's got to go. And, yeah, because I don't think Vibas makes this. No way. Mm-hmm. And put Movistar and Van Vleuten under huge pressure. And maybe even to the point where they have to start chasing. And then the last climb, 3.4K, 6%. You can have gaps on that. You really can. And the first K is like 7%. So Vollering can even drop people on that climb. I think they got to go hard with Capecchi and really try and use their whole team advantage to weaken Van Vleuten.
I very much agree. And even if it isn't Capecchi, then Roycer. But I feel after seeing today, then Capecchi, if she gets away on that climb and we get a similar situation as we saw today where the group was kind of like not really working together. They'll be waiting on a third group that will try and come back. And by the time that's organized, Capecchi's up the road within a minute. And if they can keep on doing that, then she might have lost time by the last climb, but she's probably going to gain time on that group behind, in my honest opinion, because the engine that Capecchi has is better than two or three domestiques of other teams behind, if not more. So I really, truly believe that they should copy-paste the same strategy they had today for tomorrow. And worst case, it comes back together. You've got Vollering to kind of launch it on the final hill. Like, she's not bad in that sprint either. I think they've got it all to play with. Would I enjoy them attacking with even earlier with 100K to go with Royce or something? Yes, but I think after seeing today, I don't think that's the go-to strategy. I think the go-to strategy in the last 60K, last 50K on that, got the plan trying to hurt the group, dropping half the peloton there, And then on the Bossier climb, indeed making a launch, like you said. And intermediate sprint comes afterwards, so kind of lucky that you gain 20 points there if you pause there. Bonus seconds also there, so 8 seconds there for Kopecky as well, 3 seconds on the second person. But that will also change the group behind a bit, eh? Because if people start sprinting for points or seconds in that group, then the cooperation might tilt a little bit, and then that benefits an attacker maybe again. So I think this is straight up really possible, the strategy.
They have to. And then how much time would you be comfortable giving Kopecky? Like, at a certain point, Movistar AVV or the other GC contenders will have to pull. Like, they're not... I don't think they're going to be comfortable giving her 5 minutes before Tourmalet. Yeah. I think even with 5 minutes, she probably gets cooked on Tourmalet by AVV. But even if... So in the situation, right, you are now... I'm creating a trying to create a situation where Vollering can be in a seat. She can mop up bonies. So she's maybe gets herself before the mountains 10, 12 seconds ahead of AVV. You put an SD Works rider 3-4 minutes ahead. Now AVV has to ride the climb full. She has to ride the whole climb full with Vollering in her wheel. It's completely different to Covadonga, where Vollering had to drop her. And so they got to do that. And I think.
Then again, last year in the tour on the climbing stages, Van Vleuten was still pushing hard regardless of.
Probably was what she was going to do anyway. But now Vollering's level looks very similar. I think there's a decent chance they say it's Royce's turn tomorrow and they take turns, but I don't believe in that in this race. I believe in GC. So anyway, it should be a good stage tomorrow. I think it's going to be really explosive, actually, and selective. And even though it doesn't look so hard at first glance, I think it's a really hard stage. And we're going to see even bigger GC gaps. I really think it's going to be a good stage. So anything else from today, Benji?
I think there was an announcement that Vingegaard is going to Vuelta, but I think we should discuss that in our Tour de France recap podcast that we have after the Tour de France. Because that's an interesting discussion. But when it comes to this women's Tour de France, I'm very much looking forward to the rest of the race. I will say today's race was kind of snap over at the top of the climb because the tension was kind of gone. It would have been fun if there was some tension between Kopecky and the group behind, but we just know that with the groups and riders that are pressing that second group, that the second SD Works is up the road, it's been all year, then it enters into a scenario whether they can 1-2 or not.
The other teams do? I just said what SD Works should
anticipate,
do.
Anticipate, I think.
I agree. You know, like, if you're Canyon SRAM, I think you like attack with Shabby out of neutral on the 4K 7%. Why not?
Neutral is early, but someone in the team should
do that. It's 4K 7%. It's pretty hard.
I like it, but...
She's on her own and SD Works are chasing on the plateau. She obviously should stop. Yeah. But I'm saying you're not pot committed if you do something. I think... Yeah, but the problem is for
Grace
like
Brown,
she
with 100K to go.
She looked bad today.
Yeah, she looked bad, but she should be able to attack on that Côte de la Stèle, which is about 50K into the race. Because then she had recovery after the first climb at the start of the race, and she will be attacking from a group that might not be the most fast one in the run into the next climbs yet.
So Lippert and Shabby, they got to attack on that first climb. That's what you got to do. And... work together, and maybe you bring a Mulman with you, or at least a Longo Borghini with you.
They're never going to do it. I don't see it.
But you can't let SD Works bully you all race and do what they want. I hope they try to take matters into their own hands. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to tomorrow. Yep. I think it's going to be a GC day. Hope you enjoyed the recap of Tour de France Femme avec Swift, and we'll see you with Stage 2 tomorrow. Until then, ciao.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.